Good morning, Wisconsin. Morning, world. It's a new day. Thanks for kicking it off with us right here at WFHR. Got your host, James, behind the mic. I'm joined by Seth.
Good morning.
Beth.
Good morning.
And the best listeners in radio. I see y'all out there. Thanks so much for joining us and hanging out with us, everybody. We hope you're having a fantastic start to your week out there. Mm-hmm. We got good things on the way. Entertainment news coming up for you. We'll get into a couple of other fun topics with the gang here. We'll also have, do you hate any of these beloved foods? All of this fun stuff coming up for you. But it's a Monday in the 10 o'clock hour. You know what that means.
Tell me something good.
Good morning and welcome to The Kitchen's Open on WFHR. Today is one sweet day.
Ah, it's one of my favorite days. I hope we get to celebrate at home later.
What am I missing? Is it just Monday?
Or it's also a National Pie Day.
Oh, Beth, wasn't that on March 14th? You know, 314? I thought that's when it was.
Yes, James, that was National Pie Day, but today is a specific kind of pie day.
Ooh, can I share? Can I?
Well, since it's one of your favorites, go ahead.
All right.
Please call on him, please.
It's, it's National Blueberry Pie Day.
That's right. This delectable. Yeah. So one of your top tiers, I know. So this delectable treat has its own day, since it's one of many different berries used for filling between flaky, buttery crusts. Let's explore this small but mighty orb, shall we? Did you know that the blueberry is actually quite old? It's been in North America for over 13,000 years.
Holy moly.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. According to the U.S. High Bush Blueberry Council on their website, blueberry.org, our favorite boost of blue isn't new. Blueberries, native to North America, have been part of life here for 13,000 years. The first high bush blueberry bush was successfully cultivated for commercial production in the early 1900s. And today we grow nearly 1 billion pounds of blueberries in North America each year.
The council also shares that Native Americans were the first to recognize the versatility and health benefits of blueberries, using them for medical purposes and as natural flavoring.
Mm-hmm. The USDA shares on its website, the development of cultivated blueberries began in the early 1900s through the collaboration of Elizabeth White and USDA botanist Frederick Coville. Living on a cranberry farm in New Jersey, White started conducting her own research into wild high bush blueberry plants in the 1890s. Coville began his research on cultivating wild blueberries in 1908. After they began corresponding, White eventually invited Coville to work with her on her family farm. They became business partners in 1911, harvesting and selling their first commercial crop of blueberries in 1916.
So how many of us have actually thought about when blueberries started to become commercial?
No clue.
This is
all new stuff.
Never
yes.
thought about this. A great topic.
That's great. Yeah.
I can't imagine the first time you see a blueberry or taste it. That especially because if it not being popular beforehand, that's
right.
Wild.
That's wild.
Right. Yeah. So the article goes on to say, since then, commercial blueberry production has expanded in the United States and to every continent except Antarctica. Enabled by advances in genetics and production practices, blueberries were grown in at least 30 countries in 2019 and in a variety of climates. That's interesting right there, because you would think it would take a certain type of climate with a lot of trees and things like that, but this can grow in a variety of them. The major classes of blueberry plants now grown commercially are high bush, low bush, sometimes referred to as wild, half high, a cross between the high bush and the low bush species, rabbit eye, and southern high bush. Plant production can be short or long-lived, with some cultivator plants productive for as little as 1 to 5 years or as long as 40 to 60 years.
Nice. Wow, that's impressive.
Mm-hmm. Blueberries also have several health benefits, according to the U.S. High Bush Blueberry Council. Blueberries are a healthy, stress-free food. You get fiber, vitamin C, vitamin K, manganese, and potassium in every handful of blueberries at just 80 calories per cup.
Wow.
They're also low in sodium and have virtually no fat. So it feels good to feel good about what you eat.
This is all very fascinating, but when are we getting to the pie part?
Yeah, the most important part, yes.
Yeah, sure. How about right now, okay?
Oh, all right,
you know,
all right.
A lot of people are intimidated when it comes to making pies, so this can be a very intimidating day. There are a lot of steps, and they can take a lot longer to bake than a lot of other baked goods. So there are a few hacks that you can use to make a pie in less time. So if you're like me, I don't make a lot of pies because the crust itself is just intimidating to try to make. And they can be difficult to get the right consistency. So you can always buy pre-made pie crusts and canned blueberry filling from your local grocery store. So it's as easy as getting that. Now, you would think you could just then dump the pie filling into the pie crust and put it into the oven.
Right.
But there are a couple of little extra steps to help make it set properly and be even better. So the crusts don't need to be pre-baked. So you can easily add a little bit of cornstarch to thicken that filling. Maybe a dash of vanilla to add a little bit of taste and a bit of lemon juice to highlight the flavor of the blueberry in that can filling, and then pour that mixture into the crust and put it in the oven. However, if you are willing to take the time, you can make an even better version on your own.
All right.
So there are several different crust recipes that you can find online. If you type in easy pie crust, you can do that. Maybe you have a family one that you want to use. The key to making a good crust is to use cold butter or some type of other fat, like shortening. A lot of, in the past, the best pie crusts were made with lard. But lard is very heavy in fat and not very good for your heart.
Not as easy to find anymore.
It's not as easy to find.
My mom always used shortening when she made pie crusts.
And you can also just use a combination of the two instead of just using butter or shortening because they have different melting points. Being able to use both will make it even flakier.
And you can get Mom a Little Baby Love shortening.
Shortening bread.
You get to do that.
Exactly. You do. So, and there are others that don't even use a lot of that. You can make them in the pie crust itself, in the pie pan itself, or sometimes you need to get a roller and cut them properly.
Right.
So food.com had a great recipe that does use the pre-made, store-bought pie crusts.
Okay.
But it's still easy. All you need to do is preheat your oven to 400 degrees, sprinkle 5 cups of blueberry in a bowl with a tablespoon of lemon juice, and set aside. All right, so that helps to preserve that and brings out a little bit more of that flavor. Fit half of the pastry, because usually when you buy the store-bought, there are two flattened crusts in there. So you use one, you fit that in the bottom of a 9-inch pie plate according to the package directions. Then combine with the blueberries, actually in a separate small bowl, 1 cup of sugar, or sugar substitute, 1/2 cup of all-purpose flour, 1/8 teaspoon of salt, and 1/2 teaspoon ground cinnamon in a small bowl. And then you add that to the berries and make sure you stir it well. Let them, and you might have to mush a little bit of the blueberries to moisten the flour that's in there. Once you've done that, pour it into the pastry cell and dot with 2 tablespoons of butter. Now, when it says dot, that means that you cut up some cold butter so that you have little squares or just smaller parts, and you put it throughout the top of that pie.
Sure.
Then you unfold the remaining pastry on a light floured surface, roll it gently with a rolling pin to remove creases in the pastry. Place the pastry over the filling, seal and crimp the edges. Then make sure to cut slits in the top of the crust so that you can allow the steam to escape. Another little hack to make sure that you don't get bubbled over or pie filling over the pie, put a cookie sheet and then rack underneath when you're baking so that any of the stuff that bubbles over out of the pie shell itself gets caught.
Doesn't end up in your oven, right?
But before you put that pie into the oven, you want to brush the top of the pastry with beaten eggs and sprinkle with 1 teaspoon of sugar. You're going to bake it at 400 degrees for 35 minutes or until golden brown. Now, during the baking, look for when it starts to brown. You may want to get a aluminum foil covering for around the edges so that you don't over brown it so it doesn't get burned. So, and then once it's baked, let it cool completely so that the filling has that time to set.
Just don't do it on the windowsill, so bears will come by and steal it. Cartoon bears, specifically.
Oh, yeah.
Come by
Yogi.
Steal your pie.
Looks like a pretty good pie.
I have to deal with a human bear in my house going around to steal the pie is what I have to worry about.
I'm not that hairy. No.
When it comes to baking as opposed to cooking, it does feel like you have to keep an eye on it a little bit more. Baking is a little more like children, and cooking is a little bit more like adults. It's a little, feels like a little.
Nice.
It's all sometimes, I have. Yeah. It's all I have.
Yeah, yeah, good, sometimes. Yeah. And certain things you do need to make sure that they set properly. Hmm. Now, remember, you're using flour in the filling, and flour needs to be baked to a certain level so that you don't get listeria or salmonella. There are other types of diseases you can get. So you want to make sure that it's fully baked. You also want to give it at least 4 hours to cool so that it does set up and you don't get a very runny center filling to it.
Right. Well, and give yourself some grace with this. You know, nobody gets it right the first time. You know, it might take you a couple of times, especially something like this. But it feels like it could be such a rewarding thing.
Absolutely. And often people don't bake because it's only one person. You know, when I was a single person, I didn't do a lot of cooking and baking because I didn't want to have to be the one to eat everything. And to bake a whole pie that has to get eaten in a certain amount of time, that becomes intimidating. So there's a recipe on the U.S. High Bush Blueberry Council's website. Again, that's blueberry.org for air fryer blueberry hand pies.
I saw that. Looks
and
amazing.
They look so easy and would be a good grab and go for one person. And once you bake them, you can freeze them and then just take them out and reheat them when you want to. So it's a nice little sweet treat, and you get your little blueberry pie, and you can take it with you where you go instead of having to use your fork or spoon.
So awesome. That's a great idea.
Pies are great. Pies are good for any occasion. You should take pie over cake. Pie is great. Did I read that right?
Yeah. You weren't supposed to give him an extra script.
No, sorry. Just had to get that in there. Slip that
All in hail there. Pie. Pie is not. It's getting a little. Okay, this is getting
a little bit overboard much. There. Yeah.
If you want to learn a little bit more about National Blueberry Pie Day, I encourage you to go to nationalday.com. They have some great information about other ways that you can celebrate this. If you don't want to make a pie, there are plenty of restaurants in the area that you can go to check out a great homemade.
Like, say, our friends at El Cafe. Have all those pies that
they
make.
They do. And
so many.
And
so
it's
many
okay to have some delayed satisfaction. So if you want to celebrate National Blueberry Pie Day tomorrow at El Cafe,
there you go.
You can do that because it's not open today.
Just remember that, everyone.
But it is a sweet treat to have on any day. And one thing that's always sweet around here is the way that we support and promote our sponsors, as you just heard with El Cafe, who doesn't even sponsor this segment. They sponsor a different segment. So if your business would like to be highlighted and consider sponsoring this segment of The Kitchen's Open on Monday mornings, we have options. You can be highlighted during the segment. We could do a special interview that could be aired, or have the show broadcast live from your establishment.
Oh, yeah.
If you're interested in learning more about these opportunities, just give us a call at 715-424-1300. Speak with Pam. She'll put you in touch with Ashley to work out all the details.
That number again, 715-424-1300.
And with that, we'll close the kitchen.
Yeah. Nice. Oh, I'm so wanting pie right now. Blueberry pie.
This segment always makes me hungry, but not this time it's Seth that it really matters.
Yeah, exactly.
And if you're interested in those recipes, I will put them in my little article for our newsletter, which you can sign up for if you go to our website.
Fantastic stuff, Beth. Nice work, as always. Beth's going to stick around, work a little overtime with us here, because we're going to use her for the rest of the hour. We got plenty of fun things coming up, entertainment around the corner. But again, spread the word about this segment. Let's make sure that all of our local restaurants know about it and everything. Get them a part of the show and maybe do some broadcasting from there.
That'd be great. That'd be fun.
Spread the word, everybody, about the show. Be listening next Monday at 10 o'clock for another edition of The Kitchen's Open. Tell me something. Welcome back, everybody. Mornings at WFHR, locally grown radio. Beth, Seth, and James here with you. Diving into some entertainment news now. Let's get into some in a little bit after our news and sports break. We'll have hate any of these beloved foods? We'll get into that a little bit later. But right now, just diving into some entertainment news. The Rock and Roll Hall of Fame class of 2025 was announced last night on American Idol.
Woo!
There are 13 inductees in the performers category. We have Bad Company, Chubby Checker.
Yes. Yay!
Got it. Yeah. Joe Cocker, Cyndi Lauper, Outkast, Soundgarden, and the White Stripes.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
Interesting mix.
Yeah. Salt-N-Pepa and Warren Zevon will be inducted in the musical influence category.
Excellent.
I didn't know they had that. Yeah. I mean, that makes sense, though. Totally.
Three more are being recognized in the musical excellence category. R&B singer and producer Tom Bell, pianist and organist Nicky Hopkins, and bassist Carol Kay.
Mm. Ah. Yes. Justice for Carol Kay.
Finally. I was thinking the same
thing. Finally.
Yeah.
She's been on so many recordings. Oh, mm-hmm. my gosh.
Yeah, and I should say, with her, and probably Nikki as well, Nikki mm-hmm. Hopkins, but yep. definitely Carol Kay. If there's a popular song you've enjoyed in the last 20-some years, mm-hmm. You've probably heard her.
She played bass on so many songs, starting in the 60s, and just for decades, she was a session musician, thousands of recordings, thousands she was on, yes.
The Ahmet Etchergan Award will go to Lenny Waronker. He was once the president of Warner Brothers Records before co-founding DreamWorks Records.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
As for the snubs, Phish won the fan vote last week with over 330,000 votes. Not surprising.
Yes.
Bad Company came in second and Billy Idol followed in third. Despite the love from the fans, Phish and Billy Idol didn't get in.
Hmm. Wow.
So the fan vote doesn't have a ton of influence right. on who makes
Apparently.
The hall. It only counts for a single ballot among roughly 1,200 that are cast. This is just the second time that the winner of the fan vote didn't make it in. Previously, it was a Dave Matthews Band in 2020, but they finally got in last year.
Right.
So mm-hmm. I don't think it's surprising that both of these are jam bands.
And so they have a big followings, yes, mm-hmm. for yeah, sure, yeah. yes.
The induction ceremony will take place November 8th in L.A. It will stream live on Disney+. It'll be available to stream on Hulu the next day, and we'll get a special broadcast on ABC at a later date. Mm. I always find these fun to watch. I know my mom and dad mm-hmm. look forward to them every year just because yeah. of the amount of different people that show up to do these songs.
Right,
and
yeah.
guest spots that are there and everything.
That's the fun part, seeing who's going to play like their special songs. That's always fun. Yeah. yeah.
To me, this is meaningful, and certainly to each artist, it's going to mean something different. But I also look at this as a really great opportunity to have a really wild rock concert.
Oh, yeah.
With just amazingly different people that would never walk the same path
right.
together, maybe, or
otherwise,
something.
Otherwise, yeah. yeah.
And can we try to start doing something as a society? Can we make up our minds? Are Hall of Fames serious or fun? Are they a living fun museum that we get to go to
right,
check
right.
out and like, oh, look at here, this is cool mm-hmm. or whatever. Or no, this is serious. Somebody, so-and-so worked very hard to get to this particular place and everything. And because there's certain Hall of Fames, Major League Baseball, that take themselves way yeah.
too seriously. Yeah, I agree.
And then there's some where I don't feel like they get any respect. Like
right.
the Basketball Hall of Fame,
right.
where, oh, mm-hmm. anybody can get in there.
Well, I don't even know where it is.
The Basketball Hall of Fame is incredibly different than yeah. any other type yeah. of Hall of Fame. In baseball, if I played, this isn't 100% true, maybe a bad mm-hmm. example, but if I was a huge Japanese artist, my stats aren't included with my baseball stats here in the States.
Right, exactly, yep.
Basketball, don't matter where you played around the world, it's your whole basketball career, not just your major league okay. baseball, but your college, your pro, you played overseas, whatever it is, it's all included.
Exactly.
Okay.
Now, I'm not saying what the right way or wrong way to yep. do this is, but I do think it's kind of silly how we say, oh, this one means something, this one doesn't.
Right.
Like, can't we just admit that these are museums?
yeah.
Like, these are meant to be fun. They're meant right. to mm-hmm. be a walk down memory lane, a history of the game. So
way younger, of learning about
yes.
stuff, too.
Yes.
Yeah,
the
educational
generations
as well, yeah.
learn about these artists and everything. I mean, it just, I would love to be like, hey, this is this. Because it just mm-hmm. feels right. like we can't make up our mind about this stuff. It's the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Right.
Every year, somebody gets bent out of shape that so-and-so is not rock and roll and they shouldn't be in there yeah. and blah, blah, blah. Like, who
Whatever.
Put you in charge?
Right.
Who made you the person that gets to decide what this and this is? It just seems silly to me.
Right. Well, and maybe that's our whole relationship with entertainment, because I put sports in with entertainment, right?
Right.
Oh, yes.
They are supposed to be fun, but we do take them so seriously, you know?
Yeah.
And maybe that's always the balancing act we're going to have to deal with, even with our Hall of Fames and stuff. So.
And this is when Dolly Parton is a national treasure again.
There you go, yeah.
Because she didn't even take it very seriously. Like, I'm not rock and roll. What are you thinking? And then she puts out a rock album to justify.
So. Right, which was fun. Yeah. It's fun, right? Yeah. It's entertaining.
It should. I don't know. If it doesn't start with, it should end with fun.
Yeah,
whatever we're talking about with entertainment, and especially the Hall of Fame. Yeah. And this is coming from the most serious person on the planet. Like, I'm telling people, you know it's gone too far.
Right.
Speaking of serious, I have heard for many, many years different people's takes and, like, why does Yoda talk the way he does? And there's a lot of different things I've actually heard people talk about with this one, but we finally actually have an answer. If you've ever wondered why Yoda speaks backwards in Star Wars, well, George Lucas finally gave us an answer during a 45th anniversary screening of The Empire Strikes Back.
Nice. Okay.
Quote, because if you speak regular English, people won't listen that much. But if you had an accent or it's really hard to understand what he's saying, they focus on what he's saying. Quote, he was basically the philosopher of the movie. I had to figure out a way to get people to actually listen, especially 12-year-olds.
Yeah.
I suppose. That makes sense. Yeah. Because they're big fans of the movies.
Is that how we need to get the rules across to our kids? Start like speaking Yoda. Like Yoda?
Beth saw exactly where I wanted to go.
Oh,
with this.
Yeah.
Yes. 100%.
The dishes you do have.
Dishes you have to do.
Garbage needs to go out, yes.
Yes, exactly.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
After they first look at you like, what is wrong with you? Did you have a stroke? Yeah.
Keep doing it. Yeah. I say keep doing it. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. That makes a lot of sense. Also, let's all be thankful he didn't try using an accent.
Yes.
Because, God, would that have aged badly.
Well, the other times he did choose to use an accent, George, they did not age well.
Yeah. I mean, even recent history, some stuff hasn't aged well. I think that one of the things that, especially with how much Star Wars stuff there is nowadays and how many different creatives you have in these worlds, from Jon Favreau to Ridley, or no, the guy that just did the last three.
The
director, writer.
J.J. Abrams,
So many different hands in the are people in the kitchen now and everything.
Right.
Kind of gets lost in the shuffle. Not only did George Lucas get all this started, but he got it started from nothing.
Right.
Like, he's going outside of airports and getting kicked out of airports for trying to record planes flying by and stuff and some of these things. It really all starts in that brain of his.
And
the ideas and some of the things that it's amazing what so many creatives have done with that universe for the decades since, especially in the last 10 years where we've just an abundance of stuff. But it all, I don't know if there's still anything more creative than the original stuff he did.
I think that's a really good point, and something that we should not normalize. All of the Star Wars films, except for maybe the first one, were independent movies.
Yeah.
He paid for them himself.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He used the success from the first one to do the sequels and stuff. And, you know, whatever you think about the prequels and the sequels and all that, he did it. He took a chance that these were going to be successful, and look at what he created. So you got to give him credit for that.
And we are wrapping up. We've just got a couple minutes left of the segment, but I do want to bring up a topic, and I want the audience to participate whenever they feel like. Whenever you can go ahead and use the Civic Media app to text us or call in.
Yeah.
Encourage you to do that, everybody, because I want to know, who is your favorite Disney villain? I would give anything to have been in the boardroom, the creative room, when they're all sitting there and they're like, okay, the Disney vault is no more. Some of these movies we aren't able to rehash anymore. We need something new, everybody. What are we going to do? And somebody raises their hand and like, hey, we haven't really focused on the villains that much. Oh, thank you. The next flash forward 20 years later, and almost everything is villain focused now. Really, to be fair, Melissa Fent, I think, really, like, they came out the gate strong.
Right.
Right.
And that really set the bar. Not everything has hit the mark, of course. Mm-hmm. It never does. But this... Again, it's Ben and Jerry deciding, well, we're the biggest ice cream in the world. Why don't we go ahead and expand our market and make ice cream for, you know, vegans and, people with lactose intolerance and some of these things. Disney sees a whole end that they have not touched on.
Oh, yeah.
Where we got all these amazing villains that people love, and we haven't put a lot of focus on them. So let's go ahead and do some of that. Right. And it has worked out so well for them. So I think this question is incredibly different now than it would have been back in the day.
Absolutely. Sure. I mean, they're even in the process of putting a whole section of one of the parks in Florida devoted to the villains.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I hadn't heard that.
Yeah.
Wow. Interesting.
Now, I wouldn't just ask this question without doing some research and some homework and having somebody, you know, that can actually add to the conversation here. So, of course, I bring this topic up when I have Beth
here.
Yes. For those that don't know, Beth worked a little bit over in the Disney.
I did, down at Walt Disney World.
So I have to start with you, Beth. Do you have a favorite Disney villain?
I think for me, I go back to Cruella de Vil, and I don't know why, I appreciate her, and it's more, I think, maybe the Glenn Close live-action version of Cruella, and then they redid, and they did a whole movie with
Emma Stone.
Yeah. And she played that to perfection. Mm. And I'm really hoping they do a sequel to that because there's a lot of time between when that movie ends and when you get the storyline for 101 Dalmatians.
Right.
But yeah, I think she just has a depth. She added a depth to that character that I really loved.
Did you know it took me till I was like in my 30s till I realized that her last name is Devil?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Right.
I was wait a minute. Her last... Oh, geez.
Yeah.
Can't believe I didn't see that. Oh,
Seth, do you have a favorite villain? Do you have a...
Oh, gosh. I'm trying to think. I was just thinking about it now when you were talking about it. And the name and the villain that popped in my head was Jafar. And I like Jafar because I'm trying to figure out who the voice actor. He did such a great job with him.
Oh yeah.
But I'd have to look that up. But I just love his that sneering, the kind of like super evil. And you got the he's got the Iago pair. The comic relief with him and stuff like that. But I thought he was just so like really real. Some of the villains can be more funny.
Like Hades.
Like Hades, right, from Hercules and that kind of stuff. Jafar is not funny at all.
No.
He is like super sinister the whole way, and that's what I think I like about him. So
those are great ones though.
Yeah.
I had forgotten about the Hades one. I'd forgotten about the James Woods is really good. Yeah. It's really good at that. Danny DeVito is great in that one too.
Yes.
That was
a good one. He's funny, yes.
Scar from The Lion King dominates in the majority of the country.
Oh.
He's followed by my choice, Oogie Boogie from The Nightmare Before Christmas.
Of course.
Yeah, that was not surprising to anybody. This one surprised me, though, a little bit. Ursula from The Little Mermaid closes out the top three by being the most popular.
I'm not surprised.
She is the most popular in only two states, Maine and Vermont, but she still got up there quite a bit.
Yeah,
that's good.
Yeah.
She's good. That's a good villain, yeah.
That's a good one. Yeah, that's a good one. Just lost. I hadn't thought of that one. The Horned King from The Black Cauldron is the most popular among boomers.
Really?
I
didn't know that.
Wow.
Oogie Boogie is the millennial favorite, and the Ursula's moray eels, Floatsum and Jetsum.
Floatsum and Jetsum
are Gen Zs.
Mm. Really?
Now, okay.
Henchmen?
Where's Gen X?
Yeah, good question.
We're not represented in this anywhere.
We never do.
We never get represented.
We are the ones that got all of that plethora of the new Disney animated
movies.
Starting
with The Little Mermaid, in 89, yeah.
Maybe it's because we can't choose because there were so many good ones during those years.
I wouldn't have thought of this as a Disney. I don't think of this as a Disney property, even though it technically kind of is in many ways. And in the cartoon is certainly Disney, and I saw when I was a kid with my sister. I would have chosen the Headless Horseman.
The
Sleepy Hollow and all of that would have been attached to Disney.
Mm-hmm.
But it's an interesting addition to this. So Scar, Oogie Boogie, the Headless Horseman in Indiana, the most popular villain in Indiana,
Interesting.
Ursula, again, over in the east in Maine and Vermont, and then the Queen of Hearts over in Wyoming.
The Queen of Hearts in Wyoming. Wow.
It's a great one. I wouldn't have thought of the Queen of Hearts. That's a good one.
Off with her head.
Yeah. Let us know who your favorite Disney villain is, everybody.
Yeah.
Lots to choose from.
Love to hear from you. Get them to us, everybody, through the Civic Media app. Or you can call right up, 715-424-2600. We'll discuss this and more when we get back from our news, sports, and partner break here on Mornings at WFHR. Welcome back, everybody. Morning show at WFHR. Locally grown radio. I can't stop reading about the Black Cauldron. I'd never heard of this before. They actually recorded it in Burbank, in the old in the famous lot where I worked.
Oh, really?
That's right. And not just me, but billions of people.
Right, yes.
Sorry, that sounded really like I worked there. It was not meant to sound that way. But they a lot of cool stuff worked on over there over the decades.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Let's dive into this one with Beth and Seth. Foods that we have a love-hate relationship with. Or is it just things that some love and some hate?
Okay.
So there are foods, there's a genetic thing where we have certain things that I think we just like and don't like mm-hmm. kind of instantly. Mm-hmm. An Instacart survey found 13% of us don't like the coriander. Or I'm sorry, cilantro.
Cilantro.
Yeah.
I'm trying to place the taste because I can't remember even what cilantro tastes like.
It's often used as a garnish in on tacos and Mexican That's true. Yeah, Spanish right. mm-hmm. dishes. So okay. And I know there are some people that are allergic to cilantro.
That's true.
So this got the ball rolling on foods like this. As far as, do you hate any of these beloved foods? What's a food most people love but you don't like?
Okay.
Here are five popular foods people were asked about in the online poll.
Okay,
cheeseburgers. 5% hate them. Another 25% said that they're just okay.
Okay, interesting. Now, what happens if you remove the cheese? It's like a hamburger. Now, that'd be an interesting follow-up question. Yeah. So, our children, one likes hamburgers. He does not like cheeseburgers.
Right.
And one doesn't like any of them.
It is true.
So, I don't know. We're a weird family.
But in his defense, what did we do wrong? Our oldest didn't like any type of burger until like 2 years ago.
That's true. A couple years ago, yeah.
Sushi, 18% dislike that.
Okay. Hmm. 18, have they tried it? Or are they just saying that?
Yeah.
they actually tried it?
And for some people, it's a texture thing. They don't like the texture of that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. Or they don't like fish in general. And that's what most sushi is.
That's correct.
Or did they see an episode of The Simpsons when they were a kid?
No.
It freaked them out.
Blowfish. Come on now.
No.
Well, and specifically, is it sushi or is it sushimi? Because those are two different things.
Yes.
And is it a roll or is it just the fish?
Right. I mean, it comes in different varieties. Mm-hmm. Correct.
I had sushi when I was a kid. It gave me food poisoning and I haven't had it since.
Well, I can understand that.
Yeah.
But I do think it's one of those things I need to try as an adult. I haven't had a lot of that kind of food.
Like Beth said, you can have like a sushi roll that doesn't have raw fish in it.
Right.
It can have
and there are some
any number of things in it, yeah.
Popcorn. Only 4% hate it. 41% said it's eh.
Wow, that's higher than I thought.
Wow.
Popcorn is only eh. Take it or leave it?
Yeah.
Is that now, if they'd specifically said like movie theater popcorn, would that change?
The heavy butter and oil, yeah.
Because there's something different about movie theater popcorn. Don't know what it is, but.
It's a little like getting a hot dog at a baseball game.
Right.
It enhances the flavor.
Yeah, exactly.
There's something different about it.
At
I don't
the theater,
know what it is.
That's what it does, yeah.
And there are now so many different toppings that you can put on popcorn. You can have it
that's
sweet.
True.
You can have it
cheesy, chocolate.
You can have it spicy.
Yeah,
you
can have
people
spicy,
put cayenne pepper on it, so.
I don't know what happened. I don't know when it changed, but at some point, like regular popcorn and caramel popcorn got boring to me, and now it's all about cheddar. It's all that cheddar popcorn.
Cheesy popcorn.
Yeah. Love it. I can't get enough of it. It's great stuff. My Aunt Sherry, shout out to my Aunt Sherry. She's the best. My parents or I will send a bin, one of those three things bins. I cannot tell you how many times that bin is just sitting there with the regular popcorn just still right there.
Yeah, all the cheese is gone. All the caramel corn is gone.
It is very similar to in our house where when we didn't have a lot growing up, every once in a while we get ice cream and it always got the Neapolitan ice cream.
Yeah.
And sure enough, that vanilla slice was always just sitting there.
Oh, poor vanilla.
Burritos. Only 4% dislike burritos.
Huh.
Okay.
Again, that's something you can mess around with burritos. You can put a lot of different stuff in burritos.
Yeah.
But the classic old bean burrito, I'm a fan. I don't eat them very much, but I like them.
But it took me well into my adulthood before I even had an inkling to try refried beans.
Oh, okay.
You know,
well,
most kids
have to have refried beans in a burrito.
But that's what they use in a burrito, mostly, right?
Yeah.
They put some type of a bean in there. And kids are not that apt to try beans.
I don't know why. Beans are awesome. One of the greatest things ever.
And finally, wrapping up, ramen at 4%.
I have to admit, not one of my favorites.
Is that beloved, though?
Mm.
I would say because sometimes you just got to have it.
It's,
you know, that's all you can afford.
On the finances when you're in college.
There you go.
More of a necessity.
Yeah,
more
exactly.
of a necessity than beloved.
Yeah, to see a gallon of milk and 84 packages of ramen. I'm good to go.
Well, and I think there's a difference between that package, like ramen you get when you're in college and actually going to
that's very different
restaurant that specializes.
And fabulous, by the way. Mm-hmm. Love it. Mm-mm.
So that was Instacart's list. Now time for mine.
All right.
Let me just go ahead and get out my long list here of things. All right, this can take a while, everybody.
Lie.
Yes.
Beginning with the A's, we have I would say that a couple came up just in talking about this, but beans are probably one of the bigger ones for me. Other than a jelly bean, you are not going to catch me eating any type of bean. I don't like them, never have. There is something about the texture of them that just even thinking about it makes me not want to touch food again.
I feel so bad for you. I do, because beans are just glorious. They're the one of the great things.
Most beans.
No, beans are glorious.
No. I agree with my dad. Lima beans are God's mistake.
Lima beans are delightful.
I love
lima. See, now, when I was a kid, my parents, we were forced to eat lima beans. Mm-hmm. And then I didn't like them. Mm-hmm. But now, because maybe it just messed up my brain or whatever it is, I love lima beans now. I think they're great.
Nope.
Love them.
You brought up an interesting point before, too, Seth. I thought about the way they're prepared or the flavors or some of that. Now, I have said on the air many times, I don't eat potatoes. I'm not a big potato guy. I don't like mashed potatoes at all. But, boy, you give me a French fry or a potato chip or something, and I will devour every one of them in front of me.
Funny how that works, you know?
Yeah. It's like I'll eat tomatoes, but I won't have ketchup. Or I'll eat ketchup, but I won't eat a tomato.
Tomato, right?
Because of the different texture.
That's where I am. I am like
half sugar.
Half my blood is marinara. I love tomato sauce, ketchup, some of these things.
Right.
But you'll never see me put a slice of tomato on anything I eat.
That's where I think it's more about the texture than the taste.
Yeah, probably.
So you have to get that. I mean, for me, the food that I cannot even touch that most people like are melons. I cannot do honeydew, cantaloupe, any type. Even watermelon. I have tried watermelon again in adult. I just cannot do it. I like the watermelon flavor when it's added to something, but I cannot do watermelon.
Interesting.
That's an interesting one too, Beth. I love pina colada flavored things. Mm-hmm. Almost anything pina colada flavored, I'm all over it.
Right.
But you give me a coconut, I'm like, eh.
That's like the main flavor in it. Yeah. Pina colada is coconut flavored, right? Yeah.
That's wild. I feel like the more I talk about these things, the more the weirder I sound, and that's really saying something. That's really like
We all have our own little idiosyncrasies, and I would love to hear what our audience has to say. You know, text us using the Civic Media app, call us 424-2600.
I think what we've learned basically from a lot of these conversations, and we talk about this, you know, every now and then, is that there is no universal food.
It is true.
There's nothing that every single person likes. We know this. I mean, apparently 4% is like the magic number for people like hate certain things. 4% of people are going to hate anything, right? We'll just throw that in.
That's what they were saying. Yeah. I think that there's something almost to that, too.
That's probably fair when you're little,
when you're young, and everybody likes a certain food or whatever. There might be more and more to that than we realize.
Humans are weird.
Yeah. Really, almost every survey we do, that's really what we should be coming back to.
There's no common ground. There's nothing that we all agree on. So there you go.
We'll come back to wrap up the show, Monday edition of Mornings with WFHR. Welcome back, everybody. Morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Beth, Seth, and James here wrapping up the show for today. We'll be back tomorrow, 9 to 11. Be sure to join us all week long, 9 to 11.
Closing time, open all the doors and let you out into the world.
Thanks so much for joining us, everybody. It's been a lot of fun. We have got some local things we want to touch on along with our schedule. Let's take a look at that schedule real quick, gang, because it has changed a little bit over the last week.
It has.
We want to encourage you guys to join us a little bit later today for Playmakers over on 105.5 WIRI.
Mm-hmm. Yes. New home for that one. Mm-hmm. Yes.
We'll be there all week, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, 4 to 5. Be sure to join us with your sports takes and feelings. You can call up the way you always have, 715 425 424-2600. Just use the Civic Media app. Got a solo show today, and I want to let everybody know that you can call in and join me. So because I'm going to be by myself, so I want you guys to call up and join us.
Call up, everyone.
We did have a game scheduled for today that has been rescheduled, Seth.
That is correct. So we, of course, with the uncertain weather coming up, it looks like maybe something severe. The soccer game we were going to broadcast today on WIRI starting at 4:50, the kickoff at about 5 o'clock, has been postponed until tomorrow. So I've been in talks with Mike about that. And since we had a softball game also scheduled for tomorrow, we are going to do the soccer game between DC Everest and Assumption tomorrow. Same time, 4:50 pregame, 5 o'clock kickoff for that game tomorrow on WIRI. No game today.
Thanks, Seth. Appreciate the update. And be sure to join us all week long for Playmakers, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, 4 to 5, over on 105.5 WIRI. Big thank you to Quality Plus Printing and Family Natural Foods giving us that opportunity.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I also want to let everybody know about a couple of things going on in here in town. There will be a protest on the Expressway Bridge by the hospital on May 1st. This is part of a nationwide protest. They will be there starting at 5. Saturday, they'll be there noon to 2. Also wanted to let people know that we are calling all heroes, all you heroes out there. We've got a blood drive happening. Today is Superhero Day. So now, clearly, you know, being a superhero seems like a pretty cool gig.
Right? Yeah.
But I got to say, the older I get, the more I look at that cape. And
the costumes are a bit much, right? Yeah. They the seem tights, a bit much. Yeah.
The tights, you got to have a tragic backstory. You have to have a tagline. I just feel like, and all the good names are taken.
Yeah, I mean, you know, paper cut man. I mean, seriously.
I feel like
all that's left.
There's a much better way to be a hero nowadays, and that is by donating blood. We encourage you to do that. You can do that from 2 to 7 today at the Wisconsin, over at the former East Junior High School Music Room in their cafeteria, 311 Lincoln Street in Wisconsin Rapids. Again, this will be going on from 2 to 7 today. Every bit counts.
Yes.
Every 2 seconds, someone in the U.S. needs blood. We greatly appreciate all you superheroes out there donating today from 2 to 7, between 2 and 7, over at 311 Lincoln Street, right here in Wisconsin Rapids.
Mm-hmm.
Beth, we have a couple of other things that I wanted to touch on as well.
We do. We are participating in Little Charlotte's Animal Rescue. It's a pet drive going on. They're looking for things like blankets, towels, dog and cat food, treats, toys, kennels, crates, garden hoses, cleaning supplies, all of that. If you would like to help, this is going on from April 15th through May 1st. So through this Thursday, you can drop off those donations at From the Ground Up Coffee House at 250 West Grand Avenue in Wisconsin Rapids, here at our studios at 1690 2nd Avenue South in Wisconsin Rapids, or over at Family Natural Foods, 910 West Grand Avenue in Wisconsin Rapids. The Southwood County Historical Museum is having a traveling exhibit that is going on through April 30th. So you only have till Wednesday to see this. It's the Laura Ingalls Wilder. It's a 16-panel display provided by the Laura Ingalls Wilder Historic Home and Museum and the Missouri Humanities Council. It contains photographs and information about Laura Ingalls Wilder, her famous Little House books, and America's Westward Expansion. You can go see that Tuesdays and Wednesdays. So you've got this Tuesday and Wednesday from 1 to 4 p.m. to head over and check out that particular exhibit. They will have a new one coming in next week.
Be sure to support our friends over at the Southwood County Historical Museum doing some really great work over there. Also want everybody to remember that our show, Midday Magazine, has evolved into the Rapids Report. It is streaming exclusively. You can catch new episodes starting at 4 Monday through Friday. Looking forward to our guests today. We're going to have in with us some of the gang and the cast from Wisconsin Rapids Community Theater's latest production of Noises Off. That's going to be a lot of fun. And we will also be talking with our friends over at the Port Edward School District. We got District Administrator and Elementary Principal James Bennett in with us, along with Amelia Anderson, who is their instrument music instructor over there.
Excellent.
Very cool.
I had a lot of fun talking with them today.
Yeah.
Looking forward to that. And keep in mind, you can catch previous episodes and plenty more at civicmedia.us or WFHR.com. One will send you there. Let's look at some interesting good news around the world, everybody. Good news update. The miniature wiener dog that survived 16 months in the wild in Australia is heading home.
Oh, nice.
Wildlife officials announced on Friday that they finally managed to catch her. Her name is Valerie. She ran off while her owners were camping in on Kangaroo Island near Adelia in late 2023.
Wow.
She somehow made it 529 days on her own.
Wow.
Good for her.
And apparently wanted to stay alone. Get away from me. I don't want to go.
It seemed like she was doing pretty well.
I like my freedom.
I like my freedom. If you tried to sell this to Pixar or Disney or something, I don't know that they would buy it. I don't know.
Too unbelievable, right?
Yeah. A wiener dog surviving in the ambient.
Forget it.
That's an awesome story. That is really cool. Good on that dog. Mm-hmm. This was almost much more scarier than it actually. It was scary, but it was almost even worse. A person tried to drive off with two kids in a car in Jacksonville, Florida, but more than a dozen Good Samaritans jumped in and stopped them.
Wow.
Cops caught the guy later the same day and arrested him. We're seeing more of this, I think. And part of this, I unfortunately think that is the rise of everybody having a camera.
Mm-hmm.
But this isn't new. Like, this kind of stuff used to happen in my old neighborhood all the time. Knuckleheads acting up, and you saw some lady in the second floor come down. And, like, yeah, I mean, I don't ever want to encourage people to get involved in situations that could get them hurt or make the situation worse or escalate a situation. But I feel like if you trust your gut more times than not, it's going to tell you what you should be doing or not in these situations. Again, we have officers for a reason, letting them take charge is what you should normally be doing.
Right.
But, every once in a while, you see something like this, and then good on them. And a woman in Minnesota named Brenna Bortner says her dog knew she had breast cancer before she or her doctors did. She found a lump and was waiting on a biopsy, but she says she knew it was cancer when her cockapoo named Mokai became fixed on her chest. She did 16 rounds of chemo and finished up with treatments about a year ago.
Wow. All right.
But this is actually not the first time we've heard stories like this with animals and animals being able to detect cancer.
That is so strange. Yeah. I wonder if it's a certain smell or maybe. That's got to be something like that.
It must be. You know, and animals are able to detect things in humans that we can't. I mean, that's why there are dogs that are specialized to help those who have epilepsy because they can detect a seizure coming on before the person is able to really realize what's going on.
That's remarkable.
And wrapping up with a "that ain't right" story, everybody. That's just some fun here. A Massachusetts town is under siege after from an apparently territorial plated woodpecker being blamed for damaging more than 25 vehicles in the area.
Vehicles?
Yeah.
Whoa.
Rockport resident Janelle tried to captured a photo of the culprit caught in the act of targeting a vehicle with its jackhammer-like beak.
Oh my gosh.
Some residents said that they have started protecting their mirrors with plastic wrap or sweaters while their vehicles are not in use.
Wow.
Cars with sweaters on. An expert said the woodpecker cracked his passenger side, or a resident said the woodpecker cracked his passenger side window while he was sitting in his pickup truck.
Oh my gosh. It's a rogue woodpecker, man. He's just taking everyone on. He's angry. He's about something.
A wonderful guy you can hear on the Levitard show, as well in this article, Ron McGill, a Zoo Miami's communication director, agreed that the mating season is likely to blame. He said it makes sense for the woodpeckers to be targeting reflective surfaces.
Oh,
that would make sense. Totally.
So does this make it Mary, Woody's cousin?
No, we just need dating apps for animals.
Well, there you go.
That's what we need. This is what this is telling us right here and everything.
I'm glad the show's ending right now. I think since we're ready to go. So ready to go.
Have a great day, everybody. Be good to each other out there.
This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM. W248 DE Wisconsin Rapids. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.